Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic, Kyle. What a wonderful program we have for you today. Today on the conversation, Sean Hannity, radio host and Fox News star, is fighting back after some... I hate that lady. She's been attacking her. She has been attacking him for a long time, and she came out that he was sexually harassing or whatever, and he got an attorney and 180-degree turn. Within 24 hours, so hey, you know, Waters World makes if you don't know, yesterday the five debuted at like, or this week, the five debuted at 9 o'clock. So the five is now not a five, it's at 9 o'clock. And Waters was on there from Waters World, Jesse Waters, and he's like, I'll explain about what he said and what my thoughts are about what he thinks is going on with the Democrats and the Democratic Party as a whole. Also, I want to get into Caitlyn Jenner and why she voted for Trump and what she thinks of Trump now and all this and how she's not a one-issue voter and all this stuff. And something Mike Rowe said, like, America is like a whack-a-mole game, and I want to get into that. And also, I want to get into the possibility that, now, some people know this, but Gabby DeGea's house, $3.8 million home, pound home in England, is up for sale, and that's really pressing rumors that he is going to Real Madrid, and you know who is going to replace him. Gianluigi Donnarumma from good old Italy, AC Milan, 18-year-old. He is very prominent. Manchester City has offered like £130 million for the guy. He's incredible. We'll see what happens. I'll get into that and much, much more. So welcome to the program that I hope you're a part of and feel a part of, folks. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whoever not believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. Think about that as you're going through your day to day, and welcome to the conversation that I hope you feel a part of, and I hope you want to do something. And you know, like John F. Kennedy always said, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Unless you're black and you feel that you're owed free college because your ancestors are slaves, and, you know, my wife has Native American in her, so shouldn't she be given a casino? I mean, seriously, folks. I mean, where does this free crap, where does it even come from? Someone's got to pay for it. I mean, you don't want to do anything to get your college education because you don't want to pay for it. So what makes you think that you're going to work for it? You're going to want to do something afterwards. Welcome to Pimp My Ride University. That's right. We're going to show you how to pimp your ride with leaving all the mechanical issues intact, so that if the car doesn't start, it won't start. But hey, it's going to look fly. I mean, that's where we're headed. That's where we're headed, folks. No one wants to work anymore. No one wants to earn a living. Our ancestors didn't come here saying, well, let me see here. Theodore Roosevelt, where's my free, what am I getting, where's my free college, where's my health care, where's this? No. See, I have $40, and I have a name tag that's T-O-N-Y, and all these idiots at Ellis Island thought we were all Tony, just because we come from Italy. No, that is to New York, not Tony. What the heck? Talk about me being an immigrant. People need to learn and Ellis Island what TONY stands for. Nope, not these kids. I want my money tree. I want my money going on the tree. That's right. You know what I'm saying? I want my money. It's going to go on the tree. Government's going to give it to me. It's going to be a Monsanto. It's going to grow it. It's going to produce $100 bills. Because I don't want to work. That's what's wrong with this. No one wants to do anything. Our ancestors didn't come here and want to be handed it. They wanted to look what I can look where I came from and look at what I'm able to accomplish. Look what I'm able to accomplish in this world. But that's how this world is. It's a different generation. California wants to, they've actually, I don't know how this is even legal, because I've read and I've had attorneys tell me that when they banned the sanctuary, like, not the sanctuary law, that's what I'm going to talk about, but when they've had court cases where they stopped Trump's executive order to ban people with visas from these Muslim countries, okay? That's not legal. They can't do that, but somehow they have. And I guess a judge in California has blocked Trump's sanctuary ban, where if you have a sanctuary city, he's going to take and stop the funding. That's unconstitutional, because, I mean, that goes against everything our founders were about. So I guess I'm confused. So all our forefathers came here illegally? All my ancestors came here illegally? No, they went through Ellis Island and did it the proper way. And what we need to do is we need to find anyone that we know is a serial killer that's illegal and ship them off to California. If they're going to allow all these police to not have to tell ICE that this person is a serial killer, he's illegal, and we're going to keep him from being deported, what sense does that make? Okay, you may have a couple people that are breaking the law by just being illegal. Remember, if you're illegal, you're not like a saint. It's not like, okay, well, there's the good people that are illegal, but then there's the killers that are illegal. No, you're illegal. Period. You don't have the right to be here. But I guess, you know, they don't care about serial killers. I hope that those senators and judges in California, I'd find out who that judge was, and I'd be like, I'd be calling that judge up at like 2 a.m. Yeah, and here's the parents of someone who died because you passed a law allowing illegals to be harbored. This lady's son was killed. And I want you to answer to them. I don't get it. I don't get it. Oh, it's unconstitutional to send back illegals. We've always, there's never been, where does our Constitution give freedom to illegal people? I want to know where I sign up to be an illegal. That's what I want to know. I want to know if I can get all these benefits. I tried to get medical insurance because I was having issues. This is like in 2003. I couldn't get it. I'm like, well, I know three people that were taken away from my restaurant that are illegal, that were deported, but they had their babies paid for. How are they getting all these medical benefits and they're not even a legal born U.S. citizen, and I'm a legal born U.S. citizen? I don't get it. I don't understand. But then, I guess I'm not supposed to, because you have Bill O'Reilly, who wasn't even taken to court, and he was taken off the job because someone was, because women were saying they were sexually harassed by him. I thought we were innocent until proven guilty. I'm sorry if, see, I think some of these women are taking things too far, just like these blacks. Well, oh, I'm just, no, you're lazy. Trust me, Michael Jordan is not lazy. He's a black man, and he's busted his butt to get where he is. He hasn't sat on his butt. He said, Coach, I'll come in every morning at 6 a.m., and I'll practice for 2 hours before school and 3 hours, whatever it takes, to be a good player. You know. But you have these black people that are lazy that use their race as an excuse. Oh, man, you just discriminated me because I'm black. No, you're late. There's a difference. He shows up 20 minutes early and is ready in case, hey, he can't clock in till 5 minutes before he's supposed to, but let me tell you something. He's here. I mean, if we need him, we can say, hey, go ahead and clock in. We can use you. A guy called in. He's 20 minutes early. You're 5 minutes late every day. It doesn't matter. A Native American can come here and be 20 minutes early, and I'll praise him. A black man could be 20 minutes early, and I'd praise him. Had nothing to do with your color, your skin. You could be white, and if you're 5 minutes late, you're going to be fired. Oh, but that white person can't claim anything. You can't claim, well, oh, you're discriminating against me, dog, because I'm white. But that's what a lot of people do. Oh, I'm not getting a raise because I'm a woman. Well, then why don't you go to the gender equality Hillary Clinton and work for her? Because if you're a woman, you're going to be making less than a man. Even though she wants you to believe that she wants you to have equal pay. See, I'm glad this country's starting to wake up, because the country woke up in the first step when Bill Clinton decided to choose someone other than Hillary. And you did too. And that's where this country's starting to wake up. You know, I'm sorry if, you know, because I bet you I've said things that, depending on who you talk to, can say, oh, you're offensive to me. Oh, you said some harassing words. I'd be like, which with a B, please. I got a woman. I got a girlfriend. I don't need you. You, girlfriend slash wives, because you're my best friend and you're a girl and you're my wife. I'd be like, she'd be suing me. I'm like, Your Honor, I'm almost out of my fenugreek, my barf pills. Yeah, because every time I see her, I want to throw up. So it's like these farmers. If Monsanto corn got onto my field, I'd be like, I'm suing you for contaminating my fields. I don't want this stuff. I had to call. I had to have like a hazmat company come out there. They had to dig up like a 100-foot radius of dirt, and they had to decontaminate and everything just because of your soil. You're gonna pay for this. I mean, since when is it offensive to call a woman with a helium balloon twins? When was that? When did that become offensive? I just wonder, because I mean, he's offending me because he said that I got a thermos, and he said that he made fun of me because I put hot chocolate and popsicles in there. I've met women that are blonde that are that dumb. It doesn't mean they are. I'm sure Bill O'Reilly said some things that someone might be offended. Just because you're offended doesn't mean I'm offended. I could say something. I mean, I love that, and I can't say it on air, but it is the Jay and Silent Bob movie where he goes, I'm sick and tired of people calling me and Dante a bunch of porch monkeys. And my mom goes, well, that's what we called them back then. Everyone, even white people, had a racial slur attached to them. I'm not being racist here, but there was a, like the N-word you used to call a black person, there was that word for, there was a word for Jews and Catholics. Everyone had something that if you said this word, it was derogatory towards them. Any Native Americans even had words. Now it's like, well, he called me a babe. I'm offended by that. I think he's trying to hit on me. That's sexual harassment. He patted me on the back saying I did a good job. He must have been in the bathroom watching me or something. I don't know, but you know, that's sexual harassment. Sean Hannity ended it real fast when that judge came out and said, well, made all these sexual harassment claims and all this stuff. And what did Sean Hannity do? He got an attorney. Let me be clear, girl. He got an attorney. And as soon as he got an attorney and threatened to sue over slander and all this, she switched her tune so fast. Oh, well, that was rumored that I said all this stuff that you, but I didn't know. She went and I can't even pronounce, but her name is Debbie. I don't know her last name. I'm bad with names. Sorry with that, folks. But anyways, Debbie, she is an attorney / blogger who's been a former guest on Hannity. And she's gotten, I've listened to Hannity for a long time. As I have the Doctor of Democracy. I've listened to people like them and Alex Jones and Glenn Beck for years. And she's been harassing Sean Hannity for the longest time. They're trying to do anything they can to bring down people that are trying to make this country better. That's what they're trying to do. See, I think she was trying to hopefully be a Olive Garden. And what I mean by, I don't know if you ever remember the Olive Garden issue. Where they, and I talked about this on the radio show, where a lady found a rat in her, like a mouse in her salad, and she's hoping that, oh, Olive Garden just going to push this under the rug and be like, here you go. I'm going to get like a huge settlement. And one of the managers worked there and he goes, that couldn't happen. Oh, yes, it did. And when they came back, he goes, you can't argue with the customer. He goes, give me 10 minutes and I'll prove you I'm right. He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, I have a buddy that works at the university who's like an entomologist. He'll be able to tell me in about 5 seconds whether this is a mouse / rat that's from the wild or if it's one that's been from like a, that's been bred and raised to eat pellets that's used like for experiments that you buy at a pet store. And in like 5 seconds, they said, oh, this would have been, this is not a wild mouse, or this is one that is from like a pet store that would eat like the pellets you'd buy for it and be for like a pet at home. And they could instantly prove she was just trying to do something. And hopefully, here's $100,000. Shut up. Don't say anything. Throw it under the rug. Just like that guy with the, where he said he found a finger in his chili at Wendy's. And they could instantly. And Wendy's didn't back down. They said, no, that can't be. And it wasn't even. And they were able to prove it was fabricated and all this. So it's just one of those things, man. You know, Sean Hannity's like, I think Sean Hannity was just like, okay, I'm just going to shut up and, you know, try to push this under the table. He's like, here's my attorney. It ain't happening like that. But I guess O'Reilly said that he can't really talk about it, that there's going to be. That there's like when the time comes, information is going to come out about whatever. So who knows? But anyways, anything to bring down the left. I mean, Jesse Waters was on the 5. And this is so true. This is what he kind of said, and it sums it up. The Democrats are freaking out because they've completely been shut out of power. Their playbook against Donald Trump isn't working. And so on and so on. Okay, let me see here. They had a bad candidate. They had a great one in Bernie Sanders. If I guarantee you, he would have won in a landslide if he would have been given the nomination. But when Hillary Clinton was proven to have stolen the nomination from him, it took away from a lot of the Democrats that wanted to vote for her. She was a bad candidate. She was a corrupt candidate. She was horrible. They lost. When they're trying to blame all these things and all these different Russia and all these different entities, and no one was listening and no one cared and no one believed it, that, oh, we're going to impeach him, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, no one cares. People like, Trump's our president, we're moving on. And there's even Democrats that are saying, okay, it's time to move on, folks. Okay, what do we do, Captain? We got our playbook right here, and the plays aren't working. Okay, this is our third time with the ball, and we have gone the first two times 4 and out. We did 3 plays each time that ended in a sack, and then we had to punt the ball away. Our playbook ain't working. And you wonder how many people were behind Hillary Clinton taking the nomination. If there were people that were like pissed off because, wait a minute, Bernie Sanders should have had it. What the hell was she doing? If they don't like her under the table, I mean, you know, it just makes you wonder. But I think people are starting to wake up about how corrupt this government is. Except for these idiots on the far left that are like, oh, I'm black, I'm owed everything, I need college free, I need everything free, I need stuff handed to me. You anti-American, you, I know you fought for us in Vietnam and Korea and World War I, World War II, but you're anti-American, you piece of crap. You don't deserve no 10% discount. I'm telling you what, if I worked at Mike's Express Car Wash and a police officer came up, I'd like, well, did you pay that person back there at that thing? Okay, well, I'll get your money back. You don't need to pay to go through this. You're protecting this city is payment enough, my friend. That's what I would do. And if Mike's Express or one of those car wash places would go off on me for doing that, I'd be like, well, then I'll find somewhere else to work. Because they shouldn't have to pay to get a car washed. I love going to Noodles & Company. And they have like 15% off for police and like first responders and firemen. I love that place. That makes my day to see that they think enough of those people in here. It's not much, but it's a small way of saying thank you. Now, what did Phil Lash say? Phil Lash got me to be an organ donor because he said one time, he goes, you know what, Melissa? I guarantee you, if you need a heart transplant, you're going to want one right now. You're going to want one right now. I need a liver right now. But would you be willing to give one up? Some people would probably, no, I'm going to give up my liver. I'm going to give up a piece of my liver. You can cut me open. Oh, but if you needed one, then you better cut me open and have one in there real fast. Okay. You got about 5 minutes to put that thing in me. Mm-hmm. People would want the stuff, but they don't want to give it in some cases. I mean, at midnight, if you're not doing well on Christmas Eve, do you want to have I need an ambulance here stat. Is an ambulance guy gonna come? You better believe you better get there real fast. But so that 15% is just a nice way of saying, hey, thank you for what you do. We appreciate everything you do. I mean, I almost dated a girl one time, and she couldn't believe I work on Sundays. I'm like, well, what do people think, that we take these residents and we send them home for the weekend, and then they come back on Monday? Good luck. Fend for yourself. Someone's got to be taking care of them. It's a different world we live in. Caitlyn Jenner was on Tucker Carlson the other night, and he basically said this. He goes, you know, I am not a one-issue voter. I believe in limited government. I believe in our Constitution. He goes, I'm a limited government guy. I don't, oh, wow. Hillary Clinton supports gays and transgenders. Well, just recently because they need a vote. But if you look at like 10 videos, do you support gay marriage? No, I don't. I don't support this. No. And they boo her. But now that all of a sudden it's like a huge front of the page issue. Oh, she like, oh yeah, I support gays and transgenders. Uh-huh. You know it. We have drag parties at the White House all the time when Bill was there. Mm-hmm. Even though back then she was against all this. And he goes, it'd be easier to convince the Republicans to say, hey, you need to support this group of people. Because I support all these things that Republicans are about, but here's an issue that they don't really stand for that I support. And why am I going to vote for Hillary Clinton, who only supports one type of issue, and all these other issues she doesn't support? Okay, if she supports one thing I like, but 99% of it I don't, why would I vote for her? I'm not a one-issue person. Just over 32 minutes left in the program, folks. I want to thank you all for tuning in wherever you are around the world. And you don't have to be from America. These issues affect everybody. When you have the U.S., like Trump just passed a new executive order that basically is going to be, it's going to help farmers. Because I don't know if you know this, but the agricultural department said they had issues where, okay, if you lived in America, you couldn't sell your milk to Canada. And if Canada brought wood into America, there's no tariffs. They don't have to, if I bring products into the United States, I don't have to have that. I don't have to pay. It's like these ships come from China in here, and when they come into China, they bring in all these goods from China. But when they leave, they're empty. We should have our goods going back to China. They should be paying a tax to bring these goods in. Trump is trying to say, okay, we've been screwed for too long. We need to make the taxes so that the benefits help America. Why are we getting screwed? Why do we have to pay taxes, but they don't? I mean, when you look at like wood, there's no taxes on wood. They don't have to pay a tax to bring wood in here. They don't have to pay a U.S. tax to bring the wood into this country. No, they don't. But in other countries, if we want to bring our goods in, oh yeah, there's a 20% tariff to take your products and bring them into England or Canada or whatever. But that's just how this cookie crumbles, folks. Okay. But we're in about a minute or so. We're going to go live with Facebook. So if you're a friend on Facebook and you're listening, we're going to go live and you'll be able to see what me live in Facebook. But it's just one of those things that we need to sit there and wake up and realize, folks, that he's trying to do something to help this country, not hurt it. But then you have all these people that are going to college thinking they're going to be CEO as soon as they get out. That's not how this world works. So I want to thank you all so much for listening. We're going to be going to Facebook Live here right now. So I want to thank you. Welcome all you to Facebook and all you who are already listening on the Blog Talk Radio page. Thank you so much for being a fan of the conversation. But Trump is trying to do something to help this country. I don't know why people don't get it. Look at those cargo ships going back to China. They're empty. Why aren't they paying taxes to come in here, to bring their goods in here? And then what they would probably do is just increase the price of the good to have them over there, to bring them over here. Well, if we're going to be charged the tax and we're going to tax, we're going to make the product more expensive so we can pay for the tax. But we got to do something. This country has been screwed over too long. We can't even sell our milk to Canada. It's right on the border. It's ridiculous. I mean, Mike Rowe was on Tucker Carlson the other night also, and he was just like, you know, America is like the whack-a-mole game. The whack-a-mole. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, you whack this mole and you stop this problem, but then this problem comes up. Oh, let's give millions of dollars to countries that hate us. Let's take and have them sell us oil instead of drilling our own natural areas. Oh, we can't drill here. Oh, we got to spend millions of dollars buying oil from countries that hate us, but we can't drill in our own area because we might hurt the natural habitat. It's not going to hurt the natural habitat, folks. It's not going to hurt us. Like those wind turbines. If you knew how much oil it takes to run those wind turbines, they're not that eco-friendly as they try to make them out to be. Not to mention, it costs almost more money to produce the electricity than they get for it. You know, if it costs $1 to produce a kilowatt of electricity, you know, if it costs $1 for that, it probably costs you, you probably get a kilowatt of electricity and probably costs you more to produce that than you would get for it. So it's not really beneficial. Not to mention, it takes a lot of oil to run those things. Do your research. There's no such thing as clean coal technology, but right now, 60% of our coal and energy comes from coal. I believe you can get clean coal technology. I believe you can get clean energy from coal if you do it right. But 60% of our energy comes from coal. Until you've got a real viable option, we got to use what we have. There's millions of jobs on the line with that. And since I'm surprised they haven't done executive orders to try to get rid of that. It's ridiculous. Well, we had this sanctuary cities, and we're going to, see, in California, we're going to harbor those criminals. We're going to harbor those murderers. Sir 13 members, you're safe here. You've killed 50 people. Don't worry. Come to California. You're going to be safe. You can murder and rape little kids and girls and boys and murder families, but it's going to be okay because we're going to harbor you. We're going to keep you safe. We're not going to allow them to put you in jail or take you away or anything. And I want those judges and all those people in California that support these sanctuary cities to be on the phone at 3 a.m. answering to the families of the dead people when they're killed by these illegals. Well, they've done nothing wrong. Well, oh, I guess being illegal is not wrong. Our ancestors didn't come here illegally. They came to Ellis Island. That's why every Italian is named Tony, because they had a name tag right here that said T-O-N-Y to New York. And they screwed it up thinking it was, oh, his name's Tony. They came legally. They didn't just come across the border and, okay, Teddy Roosevelt, I want my free college, my free health care. I want a free car. I want free money. I want food stamps. I want all this stuff given to me. I'm not going to work. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to live off the government. No, they said, I got $40 to my name, and I'm going to make something of myself. I'm going to make my family proud. Not the other way around. Not, well, I'm going to come here and then I'm going to complain that because since my ancestors were slave and I'm black, I'm supposed to be given everything for free. If anyone is owed anything, it's the Native Americans that should be owed something because this is their land and it was taken from them. But who cares? Who cares? Most people, they don't think like that. The Native Americans had this land taken from them. If anyone is owed anything, they should be owed. Like I tell people all the time, the black people were the first slave owners in this country, not whites. Blacks were, know your history. I never owned a slave, and you were never a slave, so we need to move on. Remember, the past doesn't equal the future. If you read a lot of pastors, they don't tell you to sit there and harp on the past. If you have a problem, you need to move beyond it. Well, pastor, I've been in 5 abusive relationships. Well, maybe this is to prepare you for the 6th one, the right one. Maybe you've seen how someone's not supposed to treat somebody, and you now you're learning how not to treat someone, so that when you get with this someone, you're going to be able to really appreciate who you have and care for. Maybe God's doing this so that when you get with this the right person, you're gonna he's gonna when he shows his true face, you won't be able to deny his name. I mean, not that anyone wants to go through an abusive relationship. I've been through one. It sucks. But yes, men can be the abused. It's not like A&E and Lifetime where it's only the women that get abused and beaten. That those feminist channels, Lord help us. But anyways, it can be to show you that, hey, when you find the right woman, when I bring her to you, when you're ready, you'll know it and you'll be praising me. And you'll be thanking me. That's where we're at, folks. I mean, like David Green of Hobby Lobby, who, thanks to him, what did we get, like 85% of our wedding stuff from Hobby Lobby? Mm-hmm. I love that store. And we're finally, and Donald Trump is bringing religious liberties back to this country. What is our dollar bill saying? God we trust. Because we used to trust in God. When things went wrong, we prayed to him. We looked after him. He gave us what we have. I don't have my wife. I didn't find my wife. See, that's what I guess a lot of people look at it backwards. Well, my dentist basically came to me and she goes, well, see, you're trying to find your wife. It's not your job to find your wife. It's God will bring the right woman to you when you're ready. And guess what? He did.
And, looking.
Yeah, when we both gave up, when we both stopped looking, and I'm like, okay, wait a minute here. So you want me to find a woman by not looking?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. We need to turn our country back to God and not going back to our past. And, because I'm owed something, because in the fourth grade, I got kicked in the nuts by this kid and he was picking on me and making fun of me. So I'm owed. So I need a motor scooter. I think that's what it's worth. And people talk about Trump's 100 days. I don't remember what happened in Bill Clinton or Ronald Reagan or George Bush's 100 days. People are going to look at the first term and what did he do? What has he accomplished? And he's done a lot of what he said he's done. A lot of it's been executive orders, which some people are criticizing. And I kind of do in one way because, yeah, he's passing things that want to have passed. But what if it wasn't Trump and it was Hillary doing all these executive orders, passing things I didn't like? So there is a double side to it. And when someone, because I told that to someone, I'm like, well, I support what he's passing, but I don't support the way he's doing it. Because what if Hillary Clinton got in or someone else and they passed all these executive orders with things I'm against? So, hey, it's just one of those things that people need to wake up and realize. He's never once tried to say he understands what we're going through. He just knows that we're struggling. And he's trying to help us. Because, oh, well, he was given $1 million. Yeah, I know lottery winners that were given like $50 million. And after taxes, they got like $28 million. And in 6 years, they were bankrupt. He was given $1 million, and now he's a billionaire. Because he busted his butt. Everyone's going to college thinking, I'm just going to be a CEO like Donald Trump. Yeah, be a CEO like Donald Trump. Get up at 6 in the morning and work till midnight 7 days a week during the 65 days a year without a day off. Okay, on my jet, we're going to be celebrating my birthday while I'm eating dinner, doing business. That's what people don't understand. When he's on the golf course, he's got people with him and he's doing business and he's talking politics. He's been a successful businessman. He knows how to get it done. I can sit my wife across this table and we may have a hard time communicating, but okay, let's go play golf and let's relax and let's talk about stuff while we're in a relaxed setting and we'll get more done and we'll do more. He understands how to get billion-dollar deals done because he's done it his whole life. But I want to thank all the Facebook Live viewers for tuning in. And until next Tuesday from Facebook Live, all the people on the conversation, I'll still be here. But to the Facebook Live people, goodbye and God bless. But as I'm talking about this, as I continue, you know, David Greene, we need to get back to God. You know, the Bible doesn't say harp on the past. It says move forward. Move forward. You know, think about, I mean, one of my best friend in the whole world, my sister, Lisa Tuner in Michigan, God bless her. I mean, she was always like, well, I always have walls up because I've been screwed my whole life by a lot of people. And she goes, you got to let the walls down and let this down and let that down. And then my dentist is like, well, you need to just give it to God. So, and that was the hardest thing for me to do, was to sit there and say, okay, I'm not going to look for a woman and I'm going to find a wife. Huh. Now, what crack you smoking, man? Who knew? But when I trusted in God, the woman of my dreams came to. I mean, I got money for my birthday, and 99% of it has gone to bless my wife and help out my family. And that's what I get to do. And it means blessing my wife, because she means the world to me. And if I can help her out and do stuff, that's what I do. You know, if I can buy a vet a meal, I'll do it, because what he's gone through, what he's done for us. Just like that Mike's car wash. If a cop paid, I'm like, I'll get your money back. You shouldn't have to pay. And I'm going to look into making sure that police officers that go through here don't have to pay. Because that's, you know. Like I've said many times, these issues that are going on in this country are not left and right. Look at England, when they're having people that are chanting anti-UK rhetoric. And when people from the UK try to stand up for their own nation, they're like, man, you can't be doing this. You can't. Oh, but they can sit there and tell my country to go to hell, but I can't do anything about it. I mean, tax reform, I think, as I move on, is going to be something that's going to be really crucial for Trump. Because he's going to have to do it. Because he's talked a lot about it. He's going to have to. What people, I think, really want is a simplified tax system. They want to sit there and here's one piece of paper and I can do my taxes on that one page. Instead of going, okay, let me see her. Okay, let me see here. Line 3, page 14, section C, article 7, line 15 says, the referendum from 2014 can be amended on the 2015 taxes if said adjustment on 14F, line 3, is under $15,720.32. Of the adjusted gross from line 16 of page 14, line 3. They don't want that. They want to have simple, okay? Every American pays 10% of their income or 5% or whatever it is. That way, if you make this much, you pay 5%. You all pay the same percentage. And there ain't no bull crap. Hillary Clinton went off on Trump because, well, he didn't pay taxes. Well, of course he didn't. He's using the same law Hillary Clinton does to pay as little as possible. You think she's using all those loopholes too, but why didn't she put an end to them? You know, those tax reforms, I think, are going to be very, because it's something that he has done. But even then, the left is going to find some way to spin it to make it look bad. Because the left can't, Trump can't do anything right by the left. It doesn't matter what it is. He can't do nothing right. But like with this new Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary Perdue, I think it's going to be, I mean, he won, it wasn't like a 51-50 Van Halen. it's not, it wasn't like a 51-50. He won the Secretary of Agriculture. You know, it was a pretty much a landslide, and that's a good thing. He's going to do a lot. They want to simplify so that they can get rid of unnecessary regulations that hurt farmers. I mean, why wouldn't a farmer want to be able to take his milk and go 20 miles in and sell it in Canada? He can't do that now. He couldn't do that up until now. Now, regulations are going to be lifted so they can do that. Thank you. I mean, nice to finally have someone that is doing something that's pro-America. I want to move on because, see, when I got home, my wife got home because we spent some of the day together. We went to Meijer to go shopping, and she gave me the bearer of bad news, and I'm trying to walk around Meijer and try to think when I found out the bad news that I heard that I'm getting old, and I can tell I am, because Dale Earnhardt announced his retirement. The junior. Well, they know. I mean, it can't be senior. He died. But anyways, just in case, if you're not from America, Dale Jr., that's hard not to know who he is. He's one of the most popular NASCAR drivers. He's won the most popular award 14 times. But when you hear his press conference, when he discusses why he's leaving, it reminded me of, because it just seems like yesterday that Davey Allison and Alan Quickie were racing, and Kyle Petty and Dick Trickle and Kerry Yarborough and Harry Gant and Jimmy Hensley in the Kodak car. But Neil Bonnet was involved in a wreck and was having like dizzy spells and stuff, like seizure kind of things. And he goes, Dale asked him one time, goes, well, how do you like that television, that TV thing? Because he was like an announcer for a couple years. And he goes, oh, it's great being Mr. Celebrity Has Been. I want to get back to doing what I always did. But my wife says no. My doctors say no. You know, I'm 40 years old. I'm too old to race, you know. He always wanted to leave on his own terms. I want to retire in NASCAR when I'm ready to, not when a disease or an illness tells me. You know, I kind of had that feeling like, you know, I always wanted to get out of the kitchen when I was ready to, not when a muscle issue like my myopathy tells me I have to, you know. And we all know what happened in practice for the Daytona 500. Neil Bonnet had an issue and slammed into the wall and was killed. And he was like a dad to Dale Jr. And Dale Jr. had a bunch of time off when he had the concussion. And when he was able to come back and do all the rehab and stuff, when he was able to come back, he goes, I want to be able to leave on my own terms. And I have accomplished a lot in NASCAR. I have the greatest fans in the world. And these fans are there for me because I'm Dale Jr., not because they want me to be my dad. They love me for who I am and the person I am. And, you know, and he always remembered his dad would always take time out for the fans. And if you wrote Dale Earnhardt Incorporated, they had little business cards, and every single one of them, he'd sit there for like a day and sign like 10,000 of them. And everybody got one of those who wrote DEI. Because if you took the time out to write Dale Earnhardt, he took the time to give you a signed card back saying thank you. He didn't have to do that. And Dale always remembered that stuff like that his dad did. And he's always been one of those, if I got the time, okay, if I got to be in the race car in 2 minutes, buddy, I don't have time for you. But if he has time, he'll sit down, he'll talk with you. He never forgot where he come from. And it's just, I mean, I guess it's nice because we can sit there and give him a nice fond farewell and do it knowing that he is. You know, it's not like, okay, I'm going to retire. But he is going to, he does have a couple Xfinity races scheduled next year for Junior Motorsports, and he wants to stay somehow involved in the sport. So I think it's going to be fun to see what happens, you know, the rest of the season. And I think it's going to be cool that, you know, it's kind of nice that he went out and the way he did it. It was just awe-inspiring. Because he wanted to go out on his own terms, and he's doing that. And he's never been happier. So, it's going to be interesting to see how he does. Well, if you haven't heard, as I move on to English Premier League, a £3.85 million house owned by David De Gea is for sale, sparking rumors that he will go to Real Madrid. But there is a catch, though. Because he has a no-release clause in his contract, they're going to have to spend like at least $60 million, £60 million that would be to get him. And I think they might do it. Because I think he really wants to go home. And he would have went in 2015, but like the papers weren't filled out in time. And by the time they got filled out, it was too late for the transfer and all this stuff. But I think they're really going to try to go after Gianluigi Donnarumma. He is an Italian player from Atletico Madrid. He's 18. He's got 63 great games to his credit. He's a rising star. And I think we can get him. He's who we would try to target. So I think it can happen. And I think Real Madrid would easily pay the £60 million to get him. And Mourinho and the manager of Real Madrid, they're friends. And he goes, if they want him and we can work a deal out, I want to make this a smooth transition, you know, so that we can, if he's going to go, he's going to go and it doesn't get drug out and we can find someone that we can get in, join our team and become a part of our team. Because remember, we're Manchester United. We're not Wayne Rooney. We're not Marlon Flynn. We're not one person. We're a whole team. We've never been one player. You know, we've been Georgie Best and Cantona and Law and Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Dimitar Berbatov, one of my favorite players, and Nostroy. We've been Nostroy. What a player. You know, we're not one player. We're a whole team. And it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out, because as we are 1 point behind, we got 64 points on the table, and points is good old, you guessed it, coming up this week, our derby rival, Man City. And if we win, you know, we can surpass Man City and get into fourth place, and we're only three behind Liverpool. So it's very feasible that we could get into possibly third place. So it's going to be awesome the way this table shakes out. And we have, I don't even know who this team is, I forget, in the Europa League that we drew. They are from Spain, south of Vigo. Never heard of them, but I guess they're a La Liga team, and they're from Spain, so it's going to be interesting. I think we're favored, but you never know, but we're heavily favored in that. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. Because I think we have a very good chance of winning the league. And I want to move on to a little bit quick about motorsports, folks. And the Bristol, Tennessee race, the Food City 500. It rained out because I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh, it's about ready to start. So I'm listening on my phone on PRN. And they're like, folks, just want to give you a program update. The race has been postponed due to rain. It will be back tomorrow, Monday at 1 p.m. We're going to go live from there. And I'm like, okay. So, oops. But my favorite driver, Jimmy Johnson, won in Bristol. My favorite, you know. He's just an amazing driver. I will say that. I may give him a bunch of crap, but he is one of the best drivers out there. And I would honestly say he's better than Dale Sr. I can pretty much say that because he's just phenomenal. And then with, I guess, seeing all these people like Tony Stewart leaving and Junior leaving, and I wonder when Johnson's going to retire, but you got Jeff Gordon out and Dale Jarrett's been gone since 2008. Hard to believe I was at his final race at Bristol. It's just sad to see some of these drivers that you've watched for a long time. But it's exciting to see all these new guys in there and see what they're going to do and how they're going to come and who, you know. So it's going to be kind of interesting. But then when you think back about how long Kyle Busch has been in the series, I'm like, wow. It's... But really quickly, as I want to talk about the Barber Motorsports Park race in Birmingham, Alabama, you know, Joseph Newgarden, Scott Dixon, and Simon Pagenaud, those were the top three getting podium finishes. And it's just, my man Sebastian Bourdais came in eighth. It was an incredible race. Listening to it as I could on the little radio app on my phone. It was a good race. I think they're getting more people watching them. Not that NASCAR is new that much, but I think it's more consistent year to year with IndyCar. This is what we're doing. You know, we're not changing a lot of stuff. We may change push to pass and stuff like this, but we're not changing a lot of the stuff like NASCAR is. But I'm excited. The 500 is about ready to come up. 60 seconds left, how they're pushing that Indy 500, because it's like last year you couldn't get, I mean, like in February it was sold out and you couldn't get tickets for anything. Now it's like they're pushing mailers out left and right to try to get tickets and all this stuff for everything. Like, oh, but when it was the 100th anniversary, people had to, you couldn't get near that race. But anyways, I want to thank you all so much for tuning into the conversation. I hope you're part of, and I hope you guys are outraged because we have a brand new Wall Street fat cat, and that's Barack Obama, because he's charging $400,000 for speaking events. I wish I got that, but nope. In a divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Till next Tuesday, good night. And be the resistance. God bless. Goodbye.